I'm Jeremy Shea with This News. With the departure of the Westerdam and the Norwegian Pearl yesterday, Juno's 2018 cruise season has officially come to an end. The industry projected about 1.2 million passengers this year, compared to about 1.1 million last year. This summer also saw the arrival of Alaska's first megaship, the Norwegian Bliss. Kirby Day, the port manager for Princess Cruises and the Holland America Group in Juneau, said final industry numbers and projections for next year will likely come in the next week or two.
We coped quite well with the situation and the growth this year. That's not to say it was perfect, but I think that looking forward toward next year and probably another 12-13% increase, we have to pay close attention to those impacts.
Cam Burns, who works as a tour guide in the summer, testified at a Juneau Assembly meeting in September that the local tourism industry is already strained under the increased number of visitors. He said bus fleets and road capacity are maxed out. Short stays are another complaint, not enough time for passengers to do tour excursions.
Between the crowds and the shorter stays, the complaints about Juneau as a stop are increasing. I hear them every day. The last thing we want for our city is our guests going home and complaining about the less than stellar experience they got here.
Burns also said the Bliss routinely left late due to the large number of passengers it had to load and unload each week. Day said things got easier as the season went on.
Everyone was a little bit concerned about 45 to 4,700 passengers moving on and off of a ship, and that was only here from, say, I think 6 to 1:30. But most of the time, they were within, 15, 20 minutes of their departure, and it didn't throw their schedule off.
Next year, several more ships like the Bliss will arrive in Southeast Alaska. Its sister ship, the Norwegian Joy, arrives next summer with a similar passenger capacity. The Royal Princess, a Princess Cruises ship, will carry around 3,500 passengers, and Royal Caribbean's Ovation of the Seas will have around 4,000. Today was the very first national test of the wireless emergency alert system, and there are reports that some phones in Alaska and across the country did not receive the test message. State and federal officials are now working to sort out the kinks. KBBI's Aaron Bolton has more.
Millions of Americans' phones made a strange noise Wednesday as the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, tested the wireless emergency alert system. But some phones did not go off, including here at KBBI. The alert message originated at FEMA's Washington, D.C. headquarters and was sent through its Internet-based Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, or IPAWS. IPAWS is designed to alert Americans about national threats, such as a terrorist attack, but the system also works with the emergency alert system broadcasters use to alert the public about regional emergencies, such as floods. Savannah Bremer is the Region 10 spokesperson for FEMA. She says responses to Wednesday's test of the wireless emergency alert system have varied.
Some people didn't receive it at all. Some people received it multiple times. Some people had their phone on silent and only heard a vibration. Other people didn't hear anything at all. And really what I'd love for listeners to know is that the purpose of this test is to find those problems and errors so that we can fix them for when we would actually need to use an alert like this.
There were issues here in Alaska as well. Alaska-based wireless carrier GCI recently integrated with the wireless emergency alert system. Customers previously needed an app to receive emergency alerts on their phones. Spokesperson Heather Handyside says 90% of GCI's towers received Wednesday's alert, but she says the wireless carrier is still trying to determine if there were any internal issues.
We are also getting reports that some of our customers did not get the alert. And so right now we're trying to assess the situation and figure out exactly how widespread the message was. And if there's any pattern in the customers who did not receive the alert.
GCI was not the only carrier to experience problems. Several AT&T phones, including mine, did not receive the message, while others on the network did. An AT&T spokesperson said that the company's internal system worked just fine during the test. Verizon also reported a successful test, but did say that some phones may have not received the message due to loss of signal, out-of-date software, and other technical issues, something FEMA also noted in its response. Bremer says FEMA is also working to sort out possible issues.
We're looking at a lot of compilation of feedback because this went to the entire nation.
But what we're looking to do is compile the feedback and in about a month's time be able to report out on how the test went.
Feedback can be sent to FEMA at test@fema.dhs.gov. FEMA is asking for details on whether phones were on or off and the location of the phone during the test, among other technical details. The Alaska Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security is also working to assess the problem. The division is soliciting feedback through a survey. You can find a link to that survey along with this story at kbbi.org. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Alaska is getting $5 million in federal funds to curb drug trafficking. The money will come in two installments this and next fiscal year as part of the state's recent designation as a high-intensity drug trafficking area. The move brings with it resources to specifically interrupt the flow of illegal drugs. A spokesperson for the state's Department of Public Safety says the first spending priorities are adding funds to task forces in Fairbanks, Southeast Alaska, and at the Anchorage International Airport, designed to spot drugs coming in. Other money will go toward law enforcement time, equipment, and training. The effort's executive board in Alaska is made up of local, state, and federal law enforcement officials.
This is Adeline Baxter reporting from Juneau. Juneau voters elected a new mayor and a few new assembly members on Tuesday. One race remains too close to call. Beth Weldon pulled ahead of mayoral opponents early and managed to earn almost half of the total vote in the four-way contest. The small business owner and former Juneau Assembly member said she appreciated the positive campaigns her opponents ran.
We kept it to issues, and it was a fun campaign, and I'll enjoy talking to them and getting their viewpoints on issues in the future.
In the Assembly races, state economist Carol Treem was the clear winner in the race for a one-year seat. Incumbent Lauren Jones ran unopposed in his district. In another district, two seats were up for grabs. Retired State Division of Water Director Michelle Bonet-Hale was a clear favorite, winning the three-year seat well ahead of other candidates. The winner of the one-year seat remains unclear. Just 122 votes separate radio host Wade Bryson from real estate developer Garrett Schoenberger. Three new candidates were also elected to the Juneau School Board. Initial voter turnout for Tuesday was 26%. That will rise as more ballots are counted. City Clerk Beth McEwen said 2,500 remaining ballots will be counted and the results reviewed.
As of last Thursday, we'd exceeded last year's early voting numbers, and it has been a pretty good turnout, not only in early voting, but at the precincts by the looks of things.
The city plans to certify the election results next Tuesday. The new mayor and assembly members will be sworn in at City Hall on October 15th. With two current members also running in the state election in November, the assembly will likely see more changes very soon. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And three new members have also been elected to the Juneau School District Board of Education. Kevin Allen, Paul Kelly, and Elizabeth, or EBET, Sidon ran unopposed for three open seats on the board. According to initial results, Sidon earned 4,900 votes, Kelly 4,000, and Allen 3,600. Sidon is a fisheries biologist for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration who serves on several statewide education councils. She also co-founded Southeast Exchange, a local group that connects STEM professionals with science teachers to bring real-world science into the classroom. Kelly works as an analyst programmer for the Alaska Department of Transportation. He previously worked as a legislative aide. This was Allen's third run for the board. He's a 2016 graduate of Thunder Mountain High School who now studies at the University of Alaska Southeast. The seven-member board meets monthly to make decisions about the district budget and educational offerings for Juneau students. The new members will be sworn in at the next school board meeting on October 9th. They'll replace outgoing board members Emil Mackey, Andy Story, and Josh Keaton. And for more election results, you can go to ktoo.org/elections. Let's take a look at weather. Currently 52 degrees, overcast at Juneau International Airport. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 38. East wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 50.